Jehovah Rapha. We have one of our Sunday school teachers, or two of our Sunday school teachers, that are teaching through the names of God. Can you tell me what that name means, anybody? Go ahead, Kelly. Kelly's dying too. Yeah, God our healer, Yahweh, God our healer, amen? Knowing where our healing comes from. I'm going to be honest with you. The reason why so much of the time, whenever something like a sickness or whatever goes around, that a lot of people get really scared is because we're not sure where our healing comes from. And so God has healing for us. His healing is even better than just our physical healing. But he displays his healing power through his physical healing, sometimes first in our lives. I want you to know that whenever I was 11 years old, I had a horrible infection that almost killed me. And so I can definitely sympathize whenever a person is going through a time, whenever they are in an uncertain situation and they're not sure what's going to happen. It was a mystery to people why I was as sick as I was. In fact, I was running well over 104 degree fever, up all the way up to 106, and I had it for more than a couple weeks, and was very sick and stiff in my back, and I had a really hard time. I wound up having to spend 7 weeks in the hospital over this, and come to find out, God had ordained a doctor to help me. And so I want you to know that God can heal with the Word. He can heal even in ways where he touched individuals and healed them. He can heal through the prayers of one of his saints, but he also heals through doctors sometimes as well. And so in this particular situation, the very first doctor I went to had absolutely no evidence for what he said it was. He actually said he thought it was a bone marrow infection in a certain area of my body, which is called your sacroiliac joint. It connects your hip to your back, but he took about the next 2 weeks trying to convince other doctors of this so that they would treat me. And I praise God that God inspired that doctor, because you know that doctor had very little evidence to go along with his diagnosis, but he was 100% right. And do you know that man went everywhere I went and tried to convince other doctors to treat me for this, and if he hadn't been there, I know that that infection probably would have killed me. But God inspired a doctor to be there to help protect me and help me be healed through that. So whenever I see people are sick and everything, I can completely sympathize with the situation that they're in. But something that I've come to learn is our greater sickness really is the sickness of sin. And so the reason why God does healing of the body is because he wants to show us that he can also heal us spiritually. In your notes, I put something out of my electronic concordance in here. I did a little search in the New Testament about healer. And I just put the word healed in there because I wanted to see all the different references to Jesus healing others. And so this is for your own personal encouragement to take this home with you, and you can look through all these different instances. I love the very first one, on the one that says page 104 right here on this side. In Matthew 2:24, then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. God, there's nothing outside of God's ability to heal, amen? I mean, he heals the ones that is because of a pestilence or a sickness. He heals the ones that have epilepsy. He even heals those who are demon-possessed, and he knew the difference, and he knew how to heal everyone. Guys, here's the deal. We don't have to have all the answers. I don't know about the rest of you guys. I like having some answers. I like to have a few answers, but the cool part is I know the one who's got all the answers. And so therefore, I can face each and every day with confidence, with confidence. And so yes, I will voluntarily try to limit the amount of people that I get around, but I can tell you, if God calls me into an area, even if there's sick people there, and they need help and they need a touch from Jesus, I'm going to go, and I'm going to go without fear. Now, I'm not going to be stupid about it. You know, I'll wash my hands. If I shake a sick person's hand or touch them, I probably won't chew my fingernails afterwards, right? I won't just go eat my sandwich without first washing my hands. You know, we'll take some necessary natural precautions to things, reasonable. But guys, here's the thing. God is our healer. Do I get an amen? I can tell you, I thank God for the doctor who went with me through that experience and insisted that they look at that avenue. And I mean, this guy fought for me. I remember arguments between him and other doctors who told him he was crazy. And I'm laying over there in that bed thinking, listen to the man, I'm dying here. But you know what? God put him there for that time. A time just like that. And I praise God that God used that means in my life for that moment, and God knew how. And he could have just said, all right, rise up, you're healed, go on home. But he chose not to do it that way. Instead, I had to go through a process to get there. And so we in our country, and even some individuals, are in a process right now. And so we need to look at the bigger picture. We need to remember he is the healer. We need to remember that he healed all who came to him. It wasn't like he said, well, that one's too hard for me. In fact, he even cured blindness, which was so amazing, you know. Jesus cured blind people. And you know what was interesting about the way he cured blind people? He never did two of them the same way. He did every one of them individually in a different way. And I think he was teaching us something. Guys, he can do it any way he wants. And we can't really predict it. We just need to trust him. And so as we trust him and keep the bigger picture in mind, there's one thing that I know for sure that it is God's will for us to get through this process. He wants to build our faith. I am absolutely 100% sure on that one thing. He wants to build our faith. He wants to encourage our faith. He wants more people to come to faith. He wants people to know who Christ is, to trust Christ, and he wants us to build into our next generation these things as well. You know something interesting that he's doing right now? Is he's making children stay home with their parents. Isn't that interesting? We had gotten so busy that a lot of families weren't spending any time together, and God said, watch this! I'm going to cancel all the schools. I'm going to make it to where the children have to stay home with their families for a little while. And the families are going to have to learn to be creative and learn to interact together, and they're going to have time together. And even when the kids get on the parents' nerves a little bit, and let's just admit it, sometimes it happens, we're going to figure it out together. That is an awesome, good thing that's happening right now in the homes across America. And so we want to praise God for all of that. Whenever I'm thinking about Jehovah Rapha, there were some different scriptures that came to my mind from the Old Testament. Most of them in the Psalms. I thought of Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is a great psalm of deliverance in a time of pestilence and a time of trouble. And so let's read a little bit from Psalm 91, if we could. And then the better part of the message will come from Psalm 103. But let's just read Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Do you know what pestilence is? Yeah, it's like a contagious disease. Okay, that's exactly what it is. And he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Y'all know you got angels watching over you. I don't get all mystical and weird about it. And another thing that I think happens in our culture today is we've made angels all out to be of a feminine variety that are real pretty and cute. And I don't get why we've done that. Either that or we make them into like little children-like looking creatures. But I want you to know angels are powerful. Angels are powerful. These are powerful beings that are watching over us all the time, and especially His believers, His children. And so I want you to take heart in knowing that. It says, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, and the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Anybody around here afraid of snakes? I knew I'd get one hand up. Do you know, even if you didn't see it and you stepped on it, God could protect you. How about the lion? The lion's got a terrible roar. He said it can make a person's heart stop just with its roar. He can protect you from that lion. And you know, our enemy is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour and destroy. God can protect us from him. Amen? This part, this latter part, the last three verses is in quotations, because this is literally like God speaking through the psalmist to you. Okay? So I want you to hear this part. It's speaking of Messiah, but in who is Christ, but in Christ, this also is speaking directly to us, okay, to those who are in Him. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. This is God's word to us, okay, through Christ. He delivered Christ in the same way He will deliver all who come after Christ. He says, I will set Him on high because He has known my name. What name do you cry out to for your salvation? The name of Jesus. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Call upon the Lord in your time of trouble, and he answers us. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him. What kind of life does he give us as we call upon the name of Jesus? Eternal life. You ain't going to get any longer in eternity, folks. And show him my salvation. We're here this morning, many of us, or most of us, and hopefully all of us, because God's shown us his salvation, and we know where to find that, so we look to him. Now, I want you to turn over to Psalm 103 for a minute. I'm not going to seek to read the necessarily the entire psalm to you verse by verse. I want you to kind of do that on your own time, and I'm going to pick out a few verses here that I want us to peek at. Guys, here's the thing. We need help. We definitely need help. A lot of people maintain like, well, we don't really need any help. We all need help. Do I get an amen to that? We all need help. We need to know where to go for our help. And Psalm 103 gives us promises, because it's the promises of God that we need to hold on to when we need help. Okay? And we actually have Psalm 91 and Psalm 103 memorized in our family. I believe every member that lives in our household have these two psalms memorized, because we really want to know these promises of God at a moment's notice whenever we need help. Sometimes I wake up singing Psalm 91 in my head in times when I feel a little troubled about something, because I'm looking at this, the promises of God to deliver me, and the same with Psalm 103. It starts off with these three verses because I think that God really wants us to understand how to put life in order. It starts off with, bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's just start our day by blessing God. And not just from the mind, not just from the mouth, but from our soul. From the very essence of who we are. From the depth of ourselves. Let's bless the Lord. Let's praise Him. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Isn't that the way Jesus told us to pray? Holy be thy name. And then he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Okay, so let's go through some of these benefits. The first one, and I think these are in order of importance. The first one is, who forgives all your iniquities. You see, oftentimes we come to God because we've got this other problem, but we need to understand our number one problem is the problem of sin. We are all sinners. We have all broken God's laws. We have all fallen short of His glory. But God is the one who will forgive us if we come to Him and ask Him in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord that we know who can forgive our iniquities. And guess what, guys? He's also the one who heals all your diseases. And so it's so amazing how He put it in order of importance. In fact, what we need to understand is, guys, Jesus is Jehovah Rapha. He proved it. You got the whole list there of the New Testament references to being healed. Who is it that's doing the healing in all of those? Jesus Himself, the Christ. Let's go to the next slide there. Jesus is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord, our Yahweh, our healer. And as we look here in Mark chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, there was a guy who had four really good friends who brought their friend to God. And he did something for him. And this is another reference as well that has this paralytic. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof. These four friends did. They got up on the roof of the house and they said, if we can get this guy to Jesus, Jesus can heal this guy. He can heal him. Guy couldn't do nothing for himself, but his friends were able to help him. You see, right now the church is called to be those four friends. There's all kinds of people paralyzed in fear, guys. They're buying all the toilet paper. It don't make sense. They don't know what to do, so they're just doing something. And it don't make sense. Guys, let's not despise them. Let's realize they're paralyzed in fear. That's what makes a person do something weird like that. They need four friends to come. Lift them up. Let's take them to the Lord. Let's know if only they knew Jesus, they wouldn't do that. Right? And so you see these four friends, they said, look, the crowd, we can't even get to Jesus, but we're not going to quit trying. We're going to climb up on the roof of this dude's house, and we're going to dig a hole in it. I don't know, but like if I was the dude that owned the house, that would bother me just a little bit. I see everything falling down on the floor, and I'm like, man, I should never let all these people in here. What's going on? But you see, guys, they were fixing to see something awesome here real quick. And so when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. If you're the paralyzed guy, wouldn't you feel a little bit in peril at that point? Like, dude, your four friends just dropped you through the top of the roof. You know, maybe they're lowering you down on ropes, but still, it's scary. See, there's a scary process we got to go through. But here's the deal, guys. When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. What a puzzling thing. What a puzzling response. They didn't go there looking for his sins to be forgiven. They went there to see their paralyzed friend get healed so he could walk. And what does Jesus tell them? Your sins are forgiven. Go ahead and turn there to Mark chapter 2 with me. Verses 4 through 5 and beyond. We're going to look at this just a little bit further. Take a little time and let this soak in just a little bit because it's an awesome opportunity. Son, your sins are forgiven. Verse 6, and some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. So why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately, when Jesus perceived in His spirit, verse 8, that they reasoned thus within themselves, He said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed, and walk? So I'm going to ask you guys, which would be easier for Him to say something to heal this man in a way they couldn't see and couldn't prove? Son, your sins are forgiven. Or to say, rise up and walk? I know what they were sitting there thinking. You can say what you want to about sin, but we want to see the proof. If this dude gets up and walks, now that's going to be a miracle. Now, we in the church know the greater miracle is for the sins to be forgiven. Amen? That's a bigger miracle than anything else. But, for proof, Jesus said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Guys, God has brought us to such a time as this to display his glory. We as the church need to do everything we can to showcase God so that people will see his glory. You know, almost 8,000 people have died in Italy to this coronavirus since it started in their country. Probably more by now. Yesterday, the 24-hour period, yesterday was the biggest 24-hour period, the most amount that they had lost, and it was over 800 in one day, one 24-hour period. I mean, it's pretty tragic. And I don't want to belittle that, but I can tell you, we've got something else we really need to be concerned about. Do you know how many people were aborted yesterday worldwide or in one day, in one 24-hour period of time worldwide? 145,000. And I don't say that to belittle the people we lost in Italy, because I care about those people too. But I think we need to look at the glaring thing that we are destroying human lives every day and not even blinking an eye to it. And we need to ask God to forgive us so that he can heal our land. I think that what we're seeing is a pestilence that's come to remind us of how precious human life really is. Just in our nation alone, every day we lose about 3,000 babies to abortion. So those states that said, you know, we're canceling all elective procedures, but we're keeping the abortion clinics open, I want you to know that's just downright evil. We need to pray that God would rescue us from this evil. Those memes that you're seeing on Facebook that said if coronavirus shuts down Planned Parenthood for 2 weeks, it will have saved more lives than what we've lost, that is actually a true statement. We need to pray that we would recognize that every human life is precious through this horrible sickness. Not that we belittle those that are dying, because every person is precious in God's sight, and it breaks my heart to see any of them leave. But we need to repent of the greater evil of this whole abortion industry and ask God to forgive us. Otherwise, I'm afraid what we see happening next might be worse. God's trying to get our attention right now through this, and I want us to take the proper response. Not to be flippant about the sickness, it's serious, but also not to be flippant about the sin that we're committing against God on a daily basis in our nation, and also to look inward. You see, when we look at God's perspective, back to Psalm 103, just looking at verse 14 through 16 there. We'll have it up on the board. For he knows our frame, guys. He remembers that we are dust. Now, whether a coronavirus kills us or we die later on down the road, we're going to die. Y'all know that, right? Amen? We are going to pass on, so we need to consider our eternal place. He says, he remembers that we are dust as for man. His days are like grass as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over and is gone, and his place remembers it no more. Guys, he knows that about us. We are going to die anyways, regardless of what we die from. We are made of dust. What was it all the way back? This is a reference to the creation, by the way. In the creation account, he formed man up from the dust and breathed life into him. He became a living being. He's saying, hey, I'm Creator God, and your life here on earth is temporary because of sin, and so you need to consider things. And here's what he really wants us to consider in verses 17 and 18. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. Okay, what is everlasting? It's another word for eternal. Okay, from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, he has everlasting mercy for us, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. You see, God's stopped our world of busyness for a few minutes. And he said, consider the next generation. I want to heal you. I want you to have wellness. But I want you to build into the next generation. I want you to be passing down the faith to the next generation. You see, God slowed us down for a little while so that we can think about how important it is to make sure this faith continues on, because we're all going to die someday. Whenever you start getting to be a little bit older and get a few more gray hairs, you start realizing it's getting closer all the time. But guys, none of us have a guarantee of tomorrow. And so we need to consider, if I were to die today from coronavirus or whatever, would my children carry on the faith? Would my grandchildren carry on? If I taught them well enough that if this were my last day on earth, they'd know where I stood with the Lord. Have I taken the time to really build into them the things that are really important? In a time like this, there's no better time than right now to remember to do this. I think that's one of the things God is seeking to do right now. He's slowing us down, and there's no sporting events. You know? There's none of that stuff going on that takes up all of our time. And he's saying, build into this next generation. Stop slaughtering them on one hand. Take the time to teach them. Embrace them. Love them. Let's look at the future here if this continues on, that we're passing the faith down to the next generation. It's one of the ways that we show that we really do fear God. So let's take this time right now. Let's pray for ourselves to really have a true fear of God. Let's pray that we can pass this thing down to the next generation. Dear God, I pray that you would help us to properly fear and understand you. You are all powerful. Lord, the reason why we fear you is because it's only through you that we can find forgiveness. It's only through you that we can really find true healing. Those doctors couldn't heal me when I was 11.